All right, welcome back. In this section, we're going to talk about application, packaging, and deployment. I will also be introducing to you a lot of key Service Fabric terminology and concepts and abstractions. These are critically important to understand in order to be successful when working with Service Fabric. So let's start with some core concepts. With Service Fabric, you go and define what's called an application. And an application consists of a collection of services. Now, in Service Fabric terms, because the concepts or the words application and service are very heavily used in our industry, they don't have a lot of meaning anymore. So in Service Fabric terminology, what we really say is you are going to build what's called an application type. And an application type is a collection of service types. So in this slide here, what I show is an example of an e-store, like an e-commerce website store, application type. Now, this type consists of a bunch of different services, and you might even call these microservices in order to create the application type. In this simple example, I have a gallery service type. This service might be responsible for the web front end of the service. It would show customers what products you sell, descriptions of those products, reviews, that kind of information. I also show another service here called the payment service type. This is perhaps the service that does a payment checkout, such as credit card information or, you know, checking account, that kind of stuff, maybe integration with PayPal or other payment services. In this simple example, I show only two service types making up the application type, but you could easily have 10, 20, 30 service types making up a single application type. So you, as the software developer, you create the gallery service type, which again is its executable, DLLs, and other dependent files. You would also create the payment service type, which is its executable, its DLLs, and other dependent files. And then you're going to package these all together in some subdirectory structure on your hard disk with some additional XML files, which really make up the glue between your executable files and Service Fabric itself. Now you're going to take this directory hierarchy that has all these files in it, and you're going to upload that into Service Fabric. More specifically, you upload it into the image store service that is running within the Service Fabric cluster. And then the image store is going to hold onto all of these files. Now later, you're going to want to get to a point where you want to go and deploy these. So within the cluster, we're going to go to Image Store, and we can say, hey, Image Store, let's go and create an instance of that application type. When we create an instance of an application type, we call that a named application. And in this case, I am creating an instance of the eStore application type for, let's say, a company called Contoso. So Contoso is some fictitious company, and we're going to create an instance of this web store for them. And within that Contoso eStore named application, we're going to create an instance of the gallery service. We would call that a named service. And so I'm giving it a name here, just G for gallery. And we're also going to create an instance of the payment service. Again, we call that a named service, and so you have to give it a name. In my example here, I'm naming it P, which is just a shorthand for payment service. So now this Contoso tenant running within my cluster has their application, their named application running for them, which consists of an instance of the gallery service and also has an instance of the payment service as well. Now another company called Fabricam could also come to us and could say, hey, I would like the Fabricam service running within the cluster too, or the Fabricam application running within the cluster too. And so we can go and create another named application for that eStore app type, right? So you can think of it like in object-oriented terminology terms, right? You have a data type, if you will, that's our application type, and then we create an instance of that type for Contoso, we create another instance of that type for Fabricam. Similar is true for the service types. We have the gallery service, and we're creating an instance of the gallery service called G that's for the Contoso, and we're creating an instance of the gallery service G that's for Fabricam, and then we're doing the same thing for the payment service. Now, all of these different services are running within the one cluster that we have, so the cluster is supporting multiple tenants running within it. Now, let's go through more of the exact details of how to make this work. Well, you would first have to create a directory on your hard disk. And in my example here, I put it on the root of my C drive, and I'm calling the directory the eStore application type package. In Service Fabric, we have another concept or terminology, thing called a package. But a package really is the same thing as a directory, and it's really the same thing as a folder on your disk. But we use the word package, because it has to contain a certain set of files. And an empty directory wouldn't necessarily be a package. Within this root package directory, we have an application manifest XML file. So this is a file that you must create, and it must have this name, application manifest XML. An example of its contents is what I show on the right-hand side of the slide here. It has the application type name, eStore app type. Your application type has a version number. In my example here, it says 1.0. And then, as I mentioned, an application type is a collection of service types. So in this case, I have two service manifest reference entries here. One that refers to the gallery service package, which is the name of a subdirectory of the directory that contains application manifest XML. And then there's a version number for that gallery service package. I have another service manifest reference here for payment service package, which refers to another subdirectory. And it has a version number as well. And then the dot, dot, dots here reflect that you can have many more service manifest reference entries in this XML file if you have more service types that you want to include as your application type. Now, on the next slide, we're going to go and take a look inside one of these service packages. So let's look at the gallery service package directory. It has to have a file in it called service manifest XML. And this is another XML file whose contents look similar to what I show on the right-hand side of the slide here. It has the name of the package, gallery service package, and it has the version number. Then it has a service type section, which is where you specify the name of this service type. In this case, I have a service type called gallery service type. Then also within the XML file, I have a code package entry. The code package represents a subdirectory that contains all the code that is being in use by this service type. You'll notice it has a name of code package, and that refers to this subdirectory over here. And in this subdirectory is where you put all your .exe and .dll files that and any other dependencies that you need in order for this service to run. So here I have a file called gallery.exe, and I have another file called gallerylib.dll. Then, within the code package section in the XML file, there's an entry point, .exe host, and then program gallery.exe. What this tells Service Fabric is that when you say to Service Fabric, you want to run gallery service type for, let's say, Contoso or Fabricam, you tell it how many instances of that named service you want. So you could say, well, for Contoso, I need the gallery service running on 4 different nodes in my cluster. That gives me some high availability and reliability. Any one of those instances can go down, and the load balancer would direct traffic to the remaining 3, and then Service Fabric will detect the node that's down and bring a new 4th instance back up live. For the Fabricam company, you could also create an instance of the gallery service, but say you want 10 instances of it. So it would have 10 instances running on 10 different nodes, and the load balancer would direct traffic to any of those 10. Right. So when you create an instance of the service for one tenant, you specify how many instances you want. When you create the same service for another tenant, you can specify a different number of instances. And then all of those are running within the same cluster, so you're getting high density, we call that, and good usage of hardware resources. Well, when you tell Service Fabric to go and spin up an instance of a particular service, it's going to copy the code in this code package to, if we said we want 4 instances running for Contoso, it's going to copy it to 4 different nodes. And then this program gallery.exe entry, that tells Service Fabric which executable to start running on each of those 4 nodes. So now we have gallery.exe running 4 times on 4 different nodes within the cluster, and the load balancer is distributing the traffic across those different instances. You'll notice at the bottom of the service manifest file, there's other things that you can put in here. This is not an exhaustive list, what I show on this slide, but there is a resources section. It's common to have a resources section with an endpoint subsection. And in here, you can have a number of endpoints where you might want to have your service listening. In this example here, I have an endpoint named gallery endpoint. It is an input endpoint, means it can accept traffic from the public internet. The alternative is an internal endpoint, where the service will only accept traffic coming from other services running within the cluster, and it will not accept public traffic. There is protocol, where you can have TCP or HTTP, or HTTPS, in which case you'd also have to add certificate information here as well. You can look up more of this information and how to do these things in the Service Fabric documentation. And then finally, what I show here is a port. In this example, my service is going to be listening on port 8080 for HTTP traffic. If you don't specify a port, then Service Fabric will dynamically assign you a port when your service is up and running. Now, you'll notice that I also have a payment service package here on the left-hand side. That's a subdirectory. That's another service type that's part of my application type. It also must include a service manifest XML file that looks very similar to what I show on the right-hand side here. And there's a code package subdirectory that would contain whatever files are necessary for it. In this case, there's only one payment.exe file. The last thing I'd like to mention here is that we are going to have full container support. With everything I've talked about so far, Service Fabric goes and deploys the .exe and .dll files to a node and just starts them running. Those run in a Windows job object, and so it's incredibly lightweight, very, you know, resource friendly, right? Not hungry for a lot of resources. But in this modern day and age where people are using containers a lot more frequently, Service Fabric is going to have support, full support for containers. And when we do that, in the service manifest file, you'll replace the .exe host section with a container host section. And there will be someone else presenting a section later in this course on how to use Service Fabric with containers. So we'll go into more detail later in this course. All right, so as a software developer, this is the things that you need to do at design time or build time to get your service ready to now be deployed into Service Fabric. In the next section, we're going to take a look at how things happen at runtime, and again, I'll be introducing a lot of new terminology and concepts to you there. Stay tuned.